The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with his saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciples, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they cast him out, and having found him, said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Who sinned, the disciples asked Jesus. Identifying the sinner seems to be the theme of this passage. Did the man who was born blind sin? Was it his parents who sinned? Is Jesus a sinner, the Pharisees wanted to know. Could it be that the Pharisees who thought themselves righteous according to the law of Moses, were they actually the sinners? Much is at stake in this passage. How a person is made right with God is at the root of all this inquiry. Assumed by all those asking questions is the belief that people can and must obey God's law. For them, the law provides a neat if-then formula for righteousness. If one behaves lawfully, then he or she will be rewarded by God. Conversely, if one behaves lawlessly, then he or she should only expect punishment from God. And according to the scheme, God is completely controllable. So, when the disciples saw the man born blind, they simply assumed he was being punished by God for sin, and they wondered who was to blame. The Pharisees were more convinced that it was the blind man who was the problem. "You were born in utter sin," they said to the man. Half of the Pharisees accused Jesus of being sinful for healing the man on the Sabbath. Jesus could not break the third commandment and remain lawful, right? The other half, well, they weren't so sure. If Jesus was a sinner for healing on the Sabbath, then the blind man should not have been healed. Yet, the man was healed, pointing to the fact that perhaps Jesus was from God. After all, Isaiah and the other prophets wrote often of God giving sight to the blind. And so, we hear already a crack was beginning to form in the legal if-then formula as the logic was beginning to break down. Of course, Jesus had already destroyed the legal scheme. Though sinful as all people are sinful, the man's blindness was not caused by anybody's sin. It was not that this man sinned or his parents, Jesus said. Instead, God caused this man's blindness so that God's works might be displayed in him, Jesus tells us. Now that's a problem, because we're hearing that God is an outlaw. God is not the least bit encumbered by our legal formulas dictating what he must and must not do. So, if he wants to use a man by inflicting him with blindness, then he does it. But what about fairness? What about justice? What about morality? And in response to our pleading questions, we get nothing but silence. Perhaps you're hearing the problem now. In truth, God is uncontrollable, doing to us exactly what he pleases for reasons known only to him. And all our unbelief that God is actually this way, all our whining and complaining about God's almightiness, all our attempts to give God a makeover and refashion him into something more palatable amount to precisely nothing. Luther said God in his almightiness is like an arrow stuck in the middle of our back. Ever try to get something out of the middle of your back? Try as we might to remove it, we simply can't get a hand on it. Like a blind man begging, we are reduced to waiting on God for salvation. And that brings us to this place and this time. God is still being unjust, unfair, and immoral. We deserve from God only condemnation. Yet he has unjustly chosen us, apart from anything we've done or failed to do, to give mercy and grace to us instead. His choice is not fair. We cannot, and we have not earned it. His choice is immoral, because we killed Jesus, yet God still saves us. And that is why I can and I do say to you that you are forgiven without condition by the Father for Christ's sake. That is your word of promise. You have no guilt, and all because of the Christ who's for you. Amen.